All right, thank you for tuning in, and we're sitting here today with Brother James Langston, and he pastors Hillcrest Baptist Church in Ottawa, Tennessee, and he's agreed to sit down with us this afternoon. He's currently, at the time of this recording, it's July of 2021, and he's preaching revival for us here at Safe Harbor Baptist Church in Salisbury, and we're glad to have him. Preacher, how you doing today?
Well, I'm doing wonderful, brother.
Good. Thank you for agreeing to sit down and let me interview you and talk to you a little bit. I sure do appreciate your faithfulness. So I'm going to just ask the questions and let you answer them, roll with it. So when did you get saved?
About 13 years old.
13 years old.
Yeah.
And at the time of this recording, you're 86?
87 in November.
87 in November. Got saved at 13 years old.
Born on Thanksgiving. What a lot to be thankful for.
Yes, sir. And then, when did you get called to preach? Tell me about that.
Well, I was called to preach October 26, 1952.
So, you've been preaching 68?
Soon be 68.
Wow.
69, whatever that is.
Wow, what a blessing.
Yeah, it'll be 69 this October.
69 years, mm-hmm. Wow. Now, after you answered your call, how old was you answer your call to preach?
17.
Okay. Now, did you start pastoring soon after that?
Well, yeah. I was 13 when I got saved, and about 4 years, I didn't go to church or anything. You know, I went to church every Sunday, but I never got out into the world or anything. But when I was 17, I started a little earlier than that, going over to Holston Baptist Church where my wife sat, had a lot of young people.
Yes, sir.
So I really saw where my life was at, and I gave it October 26, 1952. I went to the altar and dedicated my heart to God, everything I had.
Yes, sir.
And we had a prayer meeting that evening over on the hill over there, several men over in the woods. I was laying under a big oak tree, an old gully laying down below, dry, you know, when it rained, water in it's dry. Laying over there, that old oak tree, we was over there praying, seeking God, and I got a call from heaven.
Mm.
And I knew it was me because I was the only one there had James' name, you know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
And so I announced that night, I went to church, and Brother Keith, our pastor, and he preached. And I just burning inside, you know. I wanted to tell it, but I couldn't.
Right.
And so they sung and gave the invitation, and we was ready to go home. The preacher said, and he didn't know anything about it because he wasn't over. The preacher said, somebody is not doing what the Lord would have them to do because I feel it and I know right. it. And so they just about, he called on somebody to dismiss. And I broke in before he started, and I said, preacher, I got something I got to say. So I announced my call to preach that night.
Wow.
We shouted a while back in. You know, you drop your hat and shout. Everybody get in.
Yes, sir.
So he said, Brother Jimmy Langston, called me Jimmy. He said, Jimmy Langston be preaching his first message tomorrow night on Monday night. So, boy, my nerves are tight. Me and my mother caught a Greyhound bus and rode it to Knoxville and worked at JFG Coffee Company. And I was so nervous that day, my stomach's upset, I couldn't even go to work. I was so tense and excited, yes, you know. So went over that night, and we got down to the prayer room, got to pray, and I'm telling you, power of God got there. I preached that night. I preached on Jacob's Ladder. I didn't know nothing about Jacob's Ladder, but I just had the angels going up, coming down, getting their needs, and going up and bringing them back supplied. And you didn't have to preach much back then. People loved God and
right.
they shouted. So I had a time, I said, man, this preaching's real easy. But a few months later, I kind of hit a snag when I got to preaching on some other things, mm-hmm. you know. So it wasn't
yes.
all that much fun to me. But I was 19 when I got ordained, October 3rd, 1954.
Wow.
And went to Grove Heights Baptist Church. And it's been soon be 68 years I've been pastoring.
And that was in Knoxville?
Knoxville, Tennessee.
Okay.
That was my first church on the corner of Frank and Knott Street.
All right. Now, was you already married when you took your first church?
Yeah. Mary and I got married when I was 18. She was 17. I married her young so I could raise her up to...
Yes, sir.
You know.
And I know she's at home with the Lord now. How long were y'all married?
Yeah, we was married 62 years and 5 months.
Wow. What about that?
And she went home to be with the Lord last August 15th. It'll be 6 years.
I remember as a little boy coming to hearing your revivals, and she'd sing.
Oh, yeah.
Before you'd preach.
And yeah, she recorded over 212 songs.
Wow.
On CDs.
What a blessing.
She loved to sing.
Yes, sir.
And when I met her, she was at school, took up the lunch money when we went in to pay. And us boys, it's a quarter back then. We'd act like we put a quarter in and thump the box, you know. And we'd go over and sit down, and she'd come over before we got through, and she'd say, y'all owe a quarter now. You didn't put no money in. And I'm going to tell the principal if you don't put money in.
Yeah.
So I never thought about marrying her, you know, but I saw something in her life. She loved God than anything.
Yes, sir.
And I realized I didn't have what she had. But after I started in that church and the Spirit of God got to work, and it didn't take me long to realize it. I needed something. It really helped me to get right with God. She stood faithful through the years.
What about that? Yeah. Now, so you took your first church at 19. How long did you stay there?
Well, I stayed there a little over 4 years.
Okay. That's
then
a blessing.
Then moved to Lenore City, Tennessee, to Friendship Baptist Church. And they was in the basement, and the Lord helped us build an auditorium there. And we moved on down to New Liberty Baptist in Graysville, Georgia. Stayed there 6.5 years. Mm-hmm. Then went back to Friendship where I left.
Okay.
Lenore City and stayed about 5.5.
So you went back to a church that you pastored before?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah. We went back to church and, you know, down at New Liberty, my last quarter I was there. We averaged 303 in Sunday school for that quarter.
Right.
Went back up there and they had about 34 people sitting out there. And when I'd left, they had over 200, had two pastor changes. And went up there and it was so cold and dry. And Mary said, she said, James, why in the world did you come back up here? I said, I don't know. Just the Lord told me to.
Right.
And we went up. Mary started a little singing group with a little girl that couldn't play but just a little. Mary taught her notes and everything. And she started a singing course with four girls. We went up to Fountain City and bought a bus out of Bell County, Kentucky. And brought that thing home, painted orange. You know, I kind of like Tennessee, you know.
Yeah.
Painted orange, and she started that group. And within a 6 month period at that church, we had over 40 adults that got saved.
Wow.
And that course got up to 30. They made four long play albums. And they went everywhere with me in revivals on Friday night and Saturday night, our church on Sunday. And we got back up over 200 out there in the country, and good old-fashioned
wow.
church. And, you know, sometimes you can't understand God, where God wants you.
Yes, sir.
But you know in your heart where he wants you.
Yes, sir. So that was in the 50s or the 60s?
50s and then 60s, and then I went to Tampa, Florida in the 60s.
Okay.
And stayed down there 3 years. We had run seven buses there.
Wow.
Had a good bus ministry and a great youth church. And just back up here from April to September a lot, meeting so... It's so far away from what I was involved in.
Right.
I resigned, moved back.
Now, you was telling me earlier at lunch how you'd catch a flight out of Tampa to come back up here. Tell me a little bit about
when
that.
When I started down there, the flights was $89 round trip. So Mary and the boys would take me over to the airport there, and I'd catch a flight at 2, and we'd get into Atlanta at 4, and then we got into Chattanooga a little after 6, so the preacher picked me up in revival and motel.
Right.
And then on Friday night, they'd take me back to the airport, and I'd catch the flight and go to Atlanta and set to 12:15, get on it, and then 15 minutes till 2, we was in Tampa, and they'd meet me there, and I was home by 2:30.
And ready to go on Sunday.
Ready to go, yeah.
Wow.
But last time we had her come down, it's $239 for just one way.
Yeah.
So I quit flying.
Yeah.
A lot of difference in that flying driving a Volkswagen.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Wow, what about that? So after you left Tampa, where'd you go?
Well, I came back to Chattanooga and took a little church over at the Way of the Cross in Dunlap, Tennessee.
Okay.
And just stayed over 13 months. There wasn't any place to live over there. There wasn't no houses
right.
or anything.
Right.
No rental. So we drove 106-mile round trip.
Wow.
And over there. So at 13 months, we got up in the 140s and had a good work going. But I felt like God wanted me to move back to Chattanooga because I was preaching back then from 42 to 44 weeks revival a year, you know.
Plus pastoring. Yes.
And I just felt like going back to Chattanooga.
Sure.
And I said, I'm going to build me a house on the campground. So that's what I did. I started building me a house back there when I was 42.
Okay.
And God helped us to build our house. I got it framed in and then borrowed some money and got it fixed and then finished the rest of it myself and all that. And then the Lord called me to James Street Baptist Church.
Okay.
They had about 15 or 17, and the Lord blessed it, and then we moved over to Battlefield, which was United Baptist. We bought their church, which they had bought on sinking fund, and couldn't meet their obligations, so
yes, we
took the church over and named it Battlefield. Phil come up the name because Battlefield Parkway runs down there.
Right.
We named it Battlefield Parkway, and Lord let me stay there 17 years, so I had 24 years with those people.
Amen.
Had a great church there, around 300 every Sunday.
Wow.
A lot of people saved and blessed, and then I felt led of the Lord to resign. I've always tried to mind God. You know, Elijah stayed down by the brook, and God fed him. Ravens brought meat in, and water out of the brook.
Yes, sir.
But one day God said, Elijah, I want you to go to Zarephath. And he probably said, God, I'm doing good down here, man. It's quiet and peaceful.
Right.
I have good fellowship, and you're taking care of me. But he said, I forward your mail up to Zarephath. You keep getting blessings, you'll have to be where the mail comes in.
That's right.
So I took a little church up at Hillcrest, and it was running, I think it's 17 now, the first Sunday I was there. God blessed us, and we filled that little church up, and God helped us to build a new auditorium, and I've been there about 21 years.
Amen.
So Lord's been good to me.
And this, like I said, this recording is July of 2021, so he's still pastoring. And there at Hillcrest, and it's in Ottawa, is that right?
Yes, sir.
And then you've got Camp Canaan,
yes,
and that's over 50 years old?
Yeah, Canaan started it back when I was at New Liberty, Pastor, many years ago. Garland Fall from Landis, North Carolina, came over, and he was going to school up at Tennessee Temple, so we got him out to New Liberty to lead our singing.
Mm-hmm.
And he and I started the tent ministry, and we came back. We loaded up one night at the church over there and left out a truck with all the tent and the chairs in it and drove all night and got to Landis, and they'd mowed the place off, and we set the tent up and got in about 1 o'clock ready to go to meeting that night.
Wow.
So I stayed there till Saturday and caught a Greyhound bus and rode back to Chattanooga. Then Monday brought my family back, and we had 2 weeks meeting over there. We ran that for a year, and God just blessed. It is. We had our tent. We had to go borrow more chairs and all. God
wow.
really blessed it. And then Brother Garland came back over to North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
He'd started the 11th Hour Singers. And,
right.
And he came back over here with a trio. And so I took the camp over by myself. So we've been running it.
Now, I want the young preachers that are listening to this to not miss something the preacher said. You caught a Greyhound bus back home.
Yes, sir.
That is unheard of in the day,
day
we live in. But you did what you had to in those days.
Yes, sir. Well, I live in a different day. Excuse me. When I preached, back when I started, windows were all open.
Yeah.
One little light bulb, three or four of them hanging through the church. Bugs flying around, you know, hot weather.
Yeah.
And Ray Lynch was preaching, a big bug moth got in his swallowing. They said, you need some water, preacher? He said, no. Said, he is a stranger, and I took him in. Said, just let him walk down best way he can. And many of a night, we preached some bugs flying around, you know. And I remember Brother Ray Lynch's preaching down at Poplar Springs out from Loudoun. Had a country church, and they had a bucket sitting up there, a 10-quart pail, you know, sitting up there with a water bucket.
Right.
So the pulpit is here, so they go by and get him a drink, and they get a drink, you know, and pitch the rest out the window. Everybody drunk out of the same dipper. And so they went up there and got a drink, Phil. And one of them went up there and there wasn't no water. So they got the pail, came down by the pulpit where he was preaching. Of course, he run around everywhere. Went out the door and I heard the old well going, screech, 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 screech. They pumped the 10-quart bucket and brought it back in. I said, Ray, that's the driest sermon I ever heard. They drunk one bucket full and started on another one. But those were the days. We didn't have a lot. So a lot of people say, well, he's an old-fashioned preacher. I'm not an old-fashioned preacher. I'm a Bible preacher.
Amen.
I grew up in old-fashioned days, but
yes,
I'm not old-fashioned now. I got a modern car. I got air conditioner. We got padded pews and seats. We got chandeliers. We got a beautiful church. So I'm not an old-fashioned preacher. I'm a Bible preacher.
That's right.
In a new world.
Amen.
Amen.
And he's got Facebook.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he even got that.
I know during COVID in 2020, you started preaching live on Facebook, and, man, you went viral.
Yeah.
Everybody was seeing Brother Langston. You was preaching Sunday morning to your church, but you was also doing a special Wednesday broadcast.
Yes, sir.
On Facebook for a while. You still on the radio?
I've been on the radio now for at one station for 62 years, and another station for 50, and another station for 20.
Now tell these folks what you record your radio broadcast on.
I still record on a cassette tape.
That's right.
But I'm moving up. My church gave me some money to go buy me an outfit of CDs.
Oh, my.
But I've got to buy it and get everything working. Work it, you know.
Yeah.
I transcribe one to another and all that stuff.
But moving on up now.
Moving on up, man. Yeah. I'm moving up higher ground. But I've got to, I'm on cassette tapes, and the Lord supplied those needs for all those years. And God will take care of you if you'll trust Him.
Yes, sir.
I got a letter from a dear old lady, and on the front of it said, my name was spelt wrong. An old habit, R-I-N-G-O, Ringo, G-A.
Right.
No zip code or anything.
Right.
I got that letter. And inside a little handwriting said, just scribbled, said, don't send me receipt. My children would not like it if they knew I sent money to a preacher.
Oh.
And it's just such a blessing.
Sure.
Man.
People
and God
support the radio.
Supplied all my needs through the mail and through people, and it's just been a wonderful life.
Wow. Yeah. Now, one of the things I've always, many, many things I appreciate about you, one of them is always you've got a sense of humor. Last night you got up, and before you started preaching, you told two or three little tales. I like the one you told last night about never ask your wife when dinner's ready. Why don't you share that one with us?
Well, Phil read that on my way over here. One of his members had written it and said, you never ask your wife when supper will be ready while she's mowing the grass.
Yeah. So. That's not a good idea.
No.
Well, I know in 68 plus years of preaching, there's been things happen in meetings that you couldn't help but just laugh at. Just funny. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen in church.
Well, I have a couple that's real special. I was preaching down at Union Baptist Church in Kingston. Brother Nolan was pastor there, older fella.
Yeah.
And all the windows open and doors, and, you know, and a bat flew in. And I was preaching away, and all the congregation was going, that bat. So I had to call time out. And he finally chased it, and he went back out the window, and we laughed till it over because that bat was just vroom, vroom, vroom. He couldn't get it, you know. And one of the funniest things in church, we like to never stop laughing, was down at Green Street, and old Frank Creighton was having those meetings where they had all week and had five preachers, and you preach four sermons.
Right.
One day is off, you know, he preached the night and the next morning, and then went all the way through the week that way. Well, we was down there preaching Frank Creighton. He was going to take an offering up at Green Street, so he said, well, we welcome all the preachers here tonight, and said he recognized all of them, you know. And they had a preacher there named Howard Crow. So Brother Creighton, he had made a remark or two and had a little laugh. And so when he got ready to take the offering, he's going to have prayer.
Right.
So he said, Brother Pray, would you crow for us? And Brother Crow, Howard Crow stood up and said, and there's a woman back there got tickled. And every time she'd stop, she'd break out again. She had that laugh. And once she laughed, it'd just go all over, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, we finally got settled down, but I had never forgot that. Never forgot that.
Now, Brother Phil was telling me about one on you last night when you was down there in Tampa, and the house y'all was living in had one of those bars in the kitchen where y'all eat breakfast at.
Well.
And you was preaching. Tell a little bit. Everybody knows what a bar is in the house. Not where you drink liquor, but it's where you eat your breakfast and stuff like that.
That wasn't too funny because I really was touched to God. I was really in the spirit preaching because it had been about 2 o'clock. I was getting something from heaven. I had it settled, and I got up a preaching, man. I was going away, and I said, God, I know this of God. I said this morning, God gave me this message at 2 o'clock this morning sitting at the bar. Well, my wife got tickled because she just laughed anywhere she's at. Lee and some more got tickled, and I just might as well have quit.
Yeah.
My sermon was gone. So
they didn't think you meant the bar in the house.
Well, they knew what I was talking about. And one of the other funnies was, you know, I'm country and I don't study a lot, but them big boats, you know, called a yacht.
Yes, sir.
I called it a yak. I talk about the people who had their big yaks, you know, and they got tickled. I asked me, said, it ain't a yak. I said, I said, well, forget it.
You used to tell me last night about one night you had a mouse run out on stage while you was preaching.
Preaching to old-fashioned Baptist church in Niagara, and had a long stage. Just a small church, but a long stage. And I was preaching, and I noticed everybody wasn't centered on where I was preaching. Of course, I was moving across the front, you know, and everybody was looking, and they was looking over on the side, and I don't know what they was looking at. And finally, I looked over, and there's a little old mouse sitting up just as straight as he could, just looking out. I believe that mouse got more out of it than the congregation did.
He was tuned in.
And finally, he took off and went back in the room back there through the door.
You know, my generation of preachers are really spoiled. Mm-hmm. God's really blessed us. In your day, when you started off preaching, love offerings was usually a pounding.
Yep.
They'd give you, yes, they'd give you stuff out of their garden, give you, give you hens, things of that nature. Yes, is that how it was in your day?
I started full time pastoring for $35 a week.
A week.
Wow. Yeah. And I was working at C.M. McClung, making $1 an hour then, and getting overtime about 50 hours. So I was making about $60 a week, you know.
Wow.
About 35. Mr. Davis said, "Well, son, I like you." Said, "You've been a good worker, but," said, "I'm afraid you might starve to death." And of course, you can tell by looking I haven't starved.
Yes, sir.
But I went 35 and then 50, and going to a lot of revivals, you know, and you might get gas money. Mm-hmm. That's all. But you was going because you loved God and you had a desire in your
heart.
Yes,
sir.
And that's what worries me about our generation. They don't have the desire to please God.
Right.
Unless things are just right.
Yes, sir.
I never asked a church how much it's going to give me and for all the benefits you get at work.
Right.
We're not working for contractors and builders and people. We're working for a heavenly
Amen.
Master.
Yes, sir.
And we owe it to him.
Yes, sir.
Out of gratitude for what he's done.
Yes, sir.
And God, I've had a many of a pound and brought to me, go to revival. They bring in stuff, and, you know, I put in the car and bring them, go. And I want to tell you this, one of my greatest blessings that I learned, I come out of church one night, and I hadn't got much money at that church, and that was fine.
Yeah.
But a dear old lady, she was poorly dressed, and her hair, you know, you could just tell she's living the best she could under the poverty she had.
Right, yes, sir.
And she gave me a 50-cent piece.
Wow.
And she said, "Brother Langston," said, "the Lord told me to give this to you."
Wow.
And said, "I hope it'll help you." And you know, I was so touched. I said, "Honey, God take care of me. Maybe you could keep it and do something, you know, as nice as I could."
Sure.
And I can still see the tears in her eyes. She looked at me and she said, "Brother Langston, would you keep me from getting the blessing that God told me to give to you?"
Oh, wow.
I took that 50 cents. I hugged her neck. And from that time to now, I don't care what it is. Somebody gives it to me, I thank them.
Yes, sir.
Because they feel like they're helping.
Absolutely.
The man of God.
Yes, sir.
That rests my heart.
And those days, 50 cent piece, that was a sacrifice.
Yes, it was.
I think one of the problems in America right now, we've been so blessed. We was talking about it at lunch, that we just take so many things for granted, especially and this recording is for preachers, and there'll be other people listed that are not preachers, but we got to be reminded we're not in it for a check.
Right.
We're in it for Christ.
Yes, sir.
And to reach people.
Yes, sir.
And men like you and your faithfulness and your sacrifices, and probably didn't stay in many hotels on the road in the early days. Guess you probably stayed in people's homes in the early days in revivals a lot.
Yes, sir. I drove up to out of Ohio, and I had a lot of meetings up there in Cleveland and all around. And I was up there in a little old church, and a preacher come to me and said, a man come to me and said, "Won't you help in revival?" And I said, "I don't go to a church without the pastor inviting me." He said, "Well, the church elected me as the one to get the preacher for the revival." I said, "Okay." So he told me where to go. So I got in my Volkswagen, drove 11 hours and got up. I mean, he was back in the country. And so they said, after meetings over with, he said, "Well, you're going to be staying with this family, man and his wife." And I said, "Okay." So I went there, and they had a big house. And we sat up and talked. And he said, "I go to work, and she goes to work." Said, "The refrigerator's full of food." Said, "Make yourself at home." And I stayed there by myself and cooked what I wanted to cook and eat what I wanted to eat.
Yeah.
And I had full reign of the house. Stayed there with them in the house.
Yeah.
Had never seen them before. It's different, Dave.
Yeah, that was a good situation. Did you ever have a situation like that was not so good?
Well, yeah, I've had some of them, but I try to cast them aside.
I understand. I know those are different days. But
I want to say this.
Yeah.
That God's been so good to me and blessed me so much, and I owe so much to Him.
Amen.
And I'm just thankful that I'm still going. I got a good family. Got good boys.
Yes, sir.
Bless me and help me. And my boys see that I get where I need to go to preach, and that's a blessing.
Yes, sir. His boy, Brother Phil, has drove him up this week to be with us here in Revive, and we're very grateful for that. We was talking at lunch, and I mentioned I wanted you to talk about this a little bit. There are a few pieces of advice you gave me when we were sitting there before we got our table, talking about the preacher said he didn't know what message to preach.
Mm-hmm.
Give some of that advice to these preachers that are listening to this broadcast.
Well, people pick up on a lot more than what we think they do. And if you get up before your congregation and say, well, I hope I've got the right message. I prayed about it, and there have been two or three thoughts on my mind, and I hope this is the right one. I don't never say that when I get up, because if you start and stumble, the congregation going to say he got the wrong message.
Right.
But preaching is different from singing. If singers start and they're in the wrong key, they said, give me an A flat or a B.
Yeah.
They drop it down and start over, and they go on with it.
Right.
But when you start one preaching, man, you're there.
Yeah.
You're in the hole, just dig your way out.
One fella said, I've done preached so long in this, so I'm too far into it now to quit.
Yeah, too far up.
Yeah.
And another thing, I want to encourage preachers that I found, and I don't know this by experience. I don't preach now as long as I did at one time, but I want to say this to my heart. You prepare a message, and there are a lot of good messages, and alliterate outlines. I don't have anything wrong with that. But don't stay so close to them that you lose the power that's in it in preaching. And another thing, when you preach and the Spirit of God starts dying and moving down, it's not important that you finish the rest of the message that you have. Because I've heard of many of a preacher preach 30 minutes, 35, and the fire and the power of God were so real. And then they say, well, I got two more points I'm not going to preach on, but I want to share them with you so you'll know. Well, nobody out there in the congregation knows what you had prepared.
That's right.
So you're not missing anything.
Right.
But if preaching don't end in a high note where the Spirit of God's drawing and you talk it down and go back and reiterate what you've already said, you lose a lot of that drawing power.
Yes, sir.
And I learned that through years of preaching.
You've got some good advice on keeping your voice.
Well, when I first started preaching, I had a lot of voice problems because I preached more from my throat than I did from the diaphragm. You know, your vocal cord just release the air that comes up, and they make the tone and all that. But I'd drink water and stuff and eat Longines, coated and medicated after I got through to try to help me. But I realized my throat was opening up, and it was irritated. So when I took those medicated cough drops and put them in, then when they cooled down, when my vocal cords cooled down, that medication irritated kind of the throat. So
right.
The next night I would be, still real croupy. So in my preaching now, you can do as you pray, but in my preaching, I don't drink no water during preaching, and I wait till I cool off before I drink any afterwards.
Yes, sir.
And the Lord's helped me to have a good, strong voice lately in many of the past many years.
Right.
And I'm grateful for it.
I know that piece of advice has helped me because, of course, we sing and then we try to preach here at the church. And usually on Sunday night, it's about shot. And I used to, you come in October and you saw me drinking that water and you gave me that advice. And I quit that night and I've not had any, to God be the glory, not had any voice trouble.
Yeah.
And then a lot of times, too, changing clothes when you get done. If you sweated a lot, sometimes it's good to put a coat on top. Or
years ago, I did. And, I found a top coat don't help really a lot.
Okay.
I just, back when I ran around 20 miles when I was preaching, you know, my socks would be wet preaching,
yeah.
Preach hard. And so I just take me a shirt and everything. I just slipped in a room, put on my dry shirt.
Right.
A lot better than keeping that with a coat around it.
Right.
You know.
And the purpose for doing that is going out in that cool air, catch pneumonia.
Yes, sir. It helped a lot. But if I now I get out and work in the weather, I'll my shirt will get wet sweat. But your system changes as you get older.
Yes, sir.
And I don't perspire as much as I did then.
Sure.
Because I don't move as much
right.
as I did.
Now, he's sharing with me today, 86, you're still mowing the grass down at the camp, still weed eating, and still very active.
I've got a John Deere lawnmower, and one of the bad things about going to heaven, I can't take my John Deere with me.
Maybe you'll have it back in the millennium.
I asked the church if they'd open them two doors and let me roll in, you know.
Yeah.
Roll it in. I said, I sing so good when I'm riding it. But the Lord's helped me. I got a campground. I keep it mowed. I weed eat. I cleaned up a lot behind my house grubbing, and I grub sitting in a chair. And then when I get a bigger sprout, I'll stand up. And I got my chair there close by. As long as I got something to lean on, I'm fine.
Now, you're going to have to explain, some people may not know what grubbing is.
Well, it's where little trees have grown up and made bigger trees, you know, bigger than your thumb.
Right.
And that big around. And so you just take a mattock and go about, mattock's a digging thing.
Yeah.
You go down under the ground about 2 inches and just cut the root off, and you just pull it up. And then you don't sprout back out or anything.
Right,
so
right.
I cleaned out all my fence row and about 30 foot of my house. Still got a little bit more, but when it cools off.
86 years old, so us young guys ain't got no excuse.
I wake up about every morning at 6 o'clock. I get up and have a good breakfast, and I listen to my wife singing cassette every morning.
Yeah.
And I got a day planned, and I work. Used to visit the hospital a lot. Can't visit them now.
Right.
So I've got a plan. We've worked on the campground, on my camp.
Yes.
Stay busy and happy.
Yes, sir. Tell about maybe over the years, revivals, even pastoring, some great moves of God that you've seen that really have stood out to you, where God really moved. Share a little of that with us, please.
Well, I've been in the day when revivals were different than they are now. When I started preaching, every revival was 2 weeks. They had 2 weeks meeting.
So they would book you for 2 weeks?
Yeah, their meetings was for 2 weeks. And most of the time they would have homecoming and then they'd start a revival. It'd go for 2 weeks.
Wow.
I remember preaching for a fella, Earl Chaney. So we wouldn't see much happen.
Right.
And we'd eat dinner. Every night you met at about 4, and you went somewhere to buy his house and eat dinner, and then went on to church and back. So we'd been to his house, and he said, I want you to come back next Saturday, you know, for supper. I said, well, I'm not sure I'll be back Saturday. I said, we're not having too much happen. I said, I may close out Friday night. The old pastor, Earl Chaney, he said, well, brother, go ahead and fix supper. I'll be here if he don't want to come. We go 2 weeks if there ain't a mouse moves. And then cut it to 10 days. Then we cut it to a week.
Yeah.
Then we cut it to 3 days. Then I read the other day we're just having a one-day revival. And honestly, from camp experience, we meet and people come in from everywhere. And their minds on everything going on but God.
Yes.
But after those folks are there for about 3 days, and only God's people, and no outside singing, no outside news, just preaching, meditating, being around God's people. And there's a strange movement comes over those people of closeness to God. And you had that back in that day.
Yes, sir.
Now, I remember preaching in Kingston at Union Chapel Baptist, and I'd preached 8 nights and nothing had happened, just cold. And on Tuesday night, I preached about everything I knew and added a few things I didn't know. And before I got the invitation given, they started coming down the aisle. And that altar filled up, and there was 11 women that came down that aisle and more men. And when I got through, they was a-praying, asking one another to forgive one another. They'd had a WMU meeting. They'd had a fallout.
Oh, no.
And they took sides. And I heard one of them ladies get up, and she said, honey, I'm sorry, I was wrong. She said, oh, no, said, you're the one that's wrong. And they got in that altar crying and weeping, and we met back Wednesday night, and a meeting went 3 weeks, and there's many nights that I just start preaching, the altar be full.
Wow.
Went down to the prayer room, prayed down where the big old pine trees were.
Yes.
There stood a man 6'4", weighed about 260 pounds, weeping and crying, standing behind that pine tree. He said, I knew y'all prayed down here. And he said, I come down to ask you, Ginger, pray for me. I can't wait till church starts.
Mm.
And that meeting had 23 baptized out of it and three announcers calling to preach in that one meeting.
Wow.
Because of the power of God. And you can't improve on God's power. But I saw some wonderful moves of God down through the years.
And a lot of it was attributed to the people being focused and being spending time in prayer.
It was. And when the little church I grew up in, they started revival those 2 weeks. And revival would break out. My grandmother would be over there praying behind the old choir. Had an old pot-bellied stove and four old lamps sitting around. And she'd pray, and she's a dear old saint. She'd come out. They'd had their apron, and she'd wipe tears to the bottom of it, be wet.
Hmm.
And I remember one night as a little boy, she'd come out, and she had an old songbook, had a cardboard back, you know.
Yeah.
And she threw that songbook and started shouting. She said, God's heard my prayer. She said, we're going to have revival. Revival broke out in that church, and men tied their teams up at 10:30 and come up there, and they started having day service. They went down the little schoolhouse. He showed you a picture of it.
Yeah.
He didn't show a picture of church, but he's got a picture of the schoolhouse. Five classes in one little room. They went down and had a meeting in that class. And, man, these people got saved. And men had tied their teams up and come there and go back to work and come back again at dark and come walk by lanterns and all to the house of God because the power of God was so real.
And when you say tied the teams up, talking about their horses and the mules, where they've been out plowing in the field.
Yes, sir, out plowing.
Yeah.
Out plowing. And God's power is so real. And it's not. And nowadays we have old-fashioned day, and people dress up in overalls, which I love.
Sure.
And they dress up in old clothes. But that don't bring meeting.
Right.
Their old clothes and things they had didn't. But they had a daily walk with God.
Yes, sir.
My grandmother, I'd go there, and she'd be in the barn milking, and her pail would be sitting in the hallway, the barn. Yeah. And the old cow would be in the stall eating grain. And I'd wonder, where's Grandma? Didn't have to get too close. I heard her back there in the stall.
Mm.
She was praying, getting a hold of heaven.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, I've seen some meetings. We've had meetings at the camp that would be unbelievable what God does.
Yes, sir.
When God's people get usable, God uses them, and he blesses them.
That's what we're missing today so much is what you just mentioned about your grandmother.
Yeah.
She didn't care if anybody was around. She wanted to meet with God and have a time. And it was a walk with God. It wasn't just a service to service, revival to revival. They had a daily walk with God. Do you think that is the difference between the church then and the church now?
Well, we've been blessed so much that we forgot our blessings. And we've been saved so long, we forgot where God pulled us from.
Mm.
But I remember my grandma coming out of the house. She bought her clothes, didn't buy them. They had a rolling mill come by. And they bought grains, a sack of grain to feed the cows while they milked.
Right.
Well, the man would say, honey, go pick out the two sacks you like because the feed sacks were cloth.
Right.
Different colors and patterns. So they'd pick out two bags of bran, you know, and they'd make clothes out of that.
That was her dresses.
And dresses. Yeah. She'd make her dress and a little old belt tied around. Had little old anklets on, a little old pair of loafers. All the money she had tied up in the end of her handkerchief.
Mm.
She'd been down to the grain and seen if there's enough grain to last till the thrash machine comes in September, you know.
Right.
And poor. But when they got to the house of God, and they started singing on Jordan's stormy banks, I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possession lie. When shall we reach that happy place and forever shall be blessed? When shall I see my Savior's face and in his bosom rest? She was up on the floor shouting. I can still see her. And little old hands going. And little feet just bouncing. And tears just flowing. And her face had a glow to it.
Yeah.
She'd sit down and they'd fan her, you know, and she'd come to her and she'd talk, oh, she's gone again. I miss those days.
And that's what that scared people now, but that's just the way church was in those days.
Yes, it
was. I think a lot of people, and I think you'd agree with this preacher, they want that experience, but they don't want to have to walk with God daily and spend time in prayer and in the Word of God. They want the shout, but they don't want the walk.
See, their church, the reason we have such great meetings at our camp is because people are there because they want to be there.
Right.
And they have no obligation. But at church, you have a people that have a loyalty to their church. Well, we better go to church today. Preacher's expecting us.
Right.
All that. But if they really came to worship God and spend some time with Him during the week, we get back to those days where the house was filled with the glory of God.
You know, just hearing those stories, and of course I grew up in Cleveland, Tennessee, which is not far from where you're at, and I grew up around men like Brother Sammy Allen, Brother Stennett Ballew, and Brother Billy Goolsby, and of course yourself, and you know, hearing those stories, Brother Berman Cate, Brother Ed Ballew, those men just, that was a generation where the touch of God and the power of God, and it wasn't, God's not changed.
No.
God's the same. It's our fault.
We had a lot of preachers that passed through my camp, and everyone I started with, I had 42 preachers on my ordination. Maybe one or two of them are still left. The rest of them are gone. Hmm. But down at our camp through the years, we've had good people. And we had Claude Bohannon, one. Wasn't well known by people, but sure loved God.
Yes,
he sat over on the side, and by Wednesday, he couldn't whisper. He'd done shouted out. I mean, he shouted. He praised God. He'd shout. So he made him 5 cards. And by Wednesday night, everyone said, "Praise the Lord." Nothing, he picked up and said, "Thank you, Lord." He had another, and he'd say, "Amen." He raised cards because he couldn't talk. He's in glory now.
But wow.
Just wonderful power of God. And I've had them come, men, preachers, and it just lay on their face in the shavings, weeping and praying, and asking God to mold them and make them. And I don't see that kind of humbleness and humility about our day, and I don't have anything against our generation.
Yes, sir.
But I'm afraid that we've got a little bit above where we should be as far as being humble and trusting God.
Well, the Scripture teaches if we'll humble ourselves before the Lord, He'll lift us up.
Yes, sir.
In due time, and that is so true, especially in my generation of preachers. I'll be 30 in September. That is something we are certainly missing, and it's our fault. I mean, the Bible said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled." So it ain't God's fault.
True.
It's our fault.
Well, I know God took care of me. We adopted 2 boys.
Yes, sir.
And then one was born. And I'm kidding them all the time, you know. I told the church, I said, "Talk about my boys, talk about my church, talk about my car. Just don't say nothing about my little dog, Barney." When you get talking about Barney, that gets, you know, on the point.
Yeah.
But God blessed me 2 boys, and I told them the other day, kid, and I said, "I'm going to tell you boys now, after I've had you about 60 years, you know, I said, I really didn't get you down to the adoption bureau. I said, I got you 2 boys out of the jungle. One of them up a coconut tree and the other up a banana tree." And oh, they just, "Oh, we know, we saw pictures of where you got us at." I said, "No, when I got y'all," I said, "I didn't go in and pick yuns out of a bunch of kids." I said, "You was the last of the litter, the only one left." I said, "I got you when nobody else wanted you, I took you." Oh, I got good relationship with my boys.
Yes, sir. I tell you, everywhere I go, and I mentioned the name Brother James Langston, people speak with admiration and respect for your testimony. It's one of the things I appreciate about you. In a day and age where men are dropping their colors, changing Bibles, changing their doctrine, changing brides, getting a new wife, you have remained faithful in the work of the Lord and fervent. I remember, I shared this last night, I remember I was 15, 16 years old, and you was preaching a camp meeting in Sevierville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And one of the few times in my life where I know the glory of God moved into a service. Mm-hmm. And we had to get the CD just to hear what you were saying, because God just, people were in the altar, people were shouting, people were praying. There were 2 or 3 men up preaching with you.
Yes, sir.
And of course, that's not you, but God uses His man.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what advice, and I know we're getting close to the end, but what advice would you give young preachers my age and this generation? We're missing the power of God. Mm-hmm. I believe that's what we've come to a point today. What advice would you give young preachers and pastors?
Well, I would encourage them to depend a little more upon God. maybe than human knowledge, more upon the power of God, and depend upon it, and be in where God wants you. And if you're where God wants you, quit letting the devil disturb you every day about where I ought to be there or not. I'm not doing good. You got to keep in mind who you're working for.
Yes, sir.
I'm not working for the praise of men, but for the glory of God. And if you'll be in God's place and live close and do His will and seek God and don't depend so much on ability. God don't need human ability. He just needs availability.
Yes, sir.
When He preached to Peter, He had a rooster. When Balaam wouldn't obey, a donkey, she asked, spoke to him.
Yes, sir.
And God took 5 loaves, 2 fishes, and fed the multitude, 12 basketful. God don't need a lot of ability. He just wants somebody that'll wholly depend upon Him. And without that power, we're useless.
Yes, sir.
Helpless. Beautiful Cadillac and Rolls Royce and Ferrari and all those sitting outside. How good they look. But if there's no power, no gas in the tank, no power for the engine, they're useless.
Yes, sir.
And I'd advise them just to depend more upon God.
Yes, sir. He was preaching last night, and we was talking even after the service, the way the world is right now, it's gearing up for the coming of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And this is, you said something last night that encouraged me. This is not the time for the church to back down.
No.
You preached last night about pressing on.
Yeah.
And even in these difficult days, and I appreciate you not just preaching that, but by example.
Yeah. Well, we're victims of the last day Bible prophecy fulfillment.
Yes, sir.
And we know it's coming, but since it's here, we're not too happy about it.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's got to happen to some generation.
Yes, it will.
Yes, sir. You've had a lot of interaction with a lot of great men that people might know. We was talking about Brother Milford Biddle earlier. You and Brother Biddle were good friends. You helped ordain Brother Buster Seaton. There was another man we was talking about. Just several men throughout that's been under your ministry and you've had impact on in their life. And so there's a little bit of Brother Langston scattered across the world where you've touched people's lives. And all the glory goes to Jesus.
Yes,
but,
sir. Yes, sir.
But God's used you to be a blessing to a lot of people.
Well, I've had a lot of good preacher friends we preached with and labored with, and they're all gone, a lot of them. But, you know, it's just a joy being around them.
Yes, sir.
And they love God. Old-time preacher, old brother Jim Seaton, Buster's dad, he came down to camp. And he's a little fat fella, weighed about, you know, good size, about 5 feet, but he weighed good and a lot. So man came out to the service, and he said, "Who's preaching here tonight, Brother Langston?" I said, "I don't know yet." I said, "I'm waiting on the leadership of the Lord." So Big Jim come around the curve there up the hill we got, and he's driving a Volkswagen.
Yeah.
You can imagine that weight, him sitting on one side, he's sitting like that. Volkswagen was coming up, and he got out of the car, and I said, "Well," the man a few minutes, I said, "unless God changed my mind, that fellow right there will be preaching." He said, "Well, I might as well go home." So there ain't no preaching in that. And so Big Jim got preaching. He preached on bringing back the king.
Mm.
He had Omen and had him sitting down by the river in the chain. His king was coming back.
Right.
And heard the very boat coming, the king come back. And he clothed himself and sat down waiting on the king. And he preached on bringing the king back.
Mm.
And I'm telling you, we found pins 50 foot down under cedar trees where they'd got happy and run around them and it fell out of their pocket. They was running and shouting and carrying on like, well, sometimes they'd be 8 and 10 running and shouting, you know. And it just got wild. He come around to me after meeting. He said, "Brother Langston," he said, "you know what? I'd just be a lot better if I kept my mouth shut." "I just owe you an apology and everybody else an apology." I said, "I sure was wrong." I said, "Well, just wait on God, man."
That's right.
But you can't tell by looking fella how much preach he's got in him, you know.
Yeah.
They little and big and tall and slim and talk high and talk low. You can't tell. Just wait on God.
You were good friends with Billy Kelly, too.
Billy Kelly, yeah. He preached Brother Jim's funeral. Brother Kelly helped him in Burlington meeting. Brother Kelly was good fella. Brother Billy said he'd been to homecoming. He'd preached and they had dinner. And he said, "I just so full." So they went out and sat down in the bench out there and said, two ladies come down the hill and said, Brother Kelly said, we brought you some dessert. He said, ma'am, said, I've just eaten. Said, I'm full up to my neck. They said, we got some good strawberry, fresh strawberry cake. He said, that's what I was saving my neck for.
Yeah. Tell that story about Brother Billy preaching and Brother Jim Seaton coming to service. They played football against one another.
Yeah, we went over to West Lonsdale to meet him, and Brother Billy Kelly was preaching, and Brother Jim Seaton, and we lived there in Knoxville. So my wife and his wife and my Danny and Buster, we went over there. So Billy got up preaching. One of them went to Star Tech, and the other one went to Central, opponents there.
Two rivals. Yeah.
And so Billy got up, and he looked back, and he said, well, there's Hog Jaw Seaton back there. Said, I used to knock him across the line when we played football. Said, I run over him. And Big Jim stood up and said, you didn't then, you can't now. And we laughed about 5 minutes, you know.
Yeah.
And they hadn't seen one another in a long time.
Oh, yeah. Now, Brother Jim, they called him the White Horse Preacher.
Yeah.
Because he preached, talking about riding that white horse back in Revelation 19, said he had a white horse on the communion table, white horse on the mailbox. Mm-hmm. You remember those days?
Yes, sir. And he was in the basement. I was down in their basement at Calvary Tabernacle preaching. And the power of God got surreal in that basement. The ones keeping the babies in the nurseries come out holding babies in their arms, shouting.
Mm.
I'm telling you, what a meeting. And the Lord blessed them. They built the auditorium. Well, you know how it is moving into a new church. It's good, but man, it's different.
They've
been down in that bay. And he went 2 or 3 weeks and nothing much going on. He's hard preaching on. He's preaching away, and he said, one of the men said, go downstairs and get that white horse and bring it up here and set it on this pulpit. I need some God in this house. He forgot his white horse.
I heard Brother Buster say, and I've heard Brother Jimbo say it, that it didn't matter what Brother Jim was preaching on, he's going to get on that white horse before he was over.
Yeah. He walked into my church of friendship, Lenore City. Hadn't been saved too long. He learned a lot of scripture. He's about a walking Bible. So I prayed that night, and I had a message, and I got over to church Sunday morning, and the choir started singing, and my message started going away. And then I was empty. I said, man, what am I going to do? 2 or 3 more songs are special. I'm going to be preaching. And the door opened. Here come Big Jim down the aisle. And he sat down. I said, how about preaching this morning? He said, I come with my big Bible. Said, I bring my big Bible. That means I feel led to preach. And if I bring my little Bible, I just come to worship. And he preached that morning at Friendship. And Jean Malone got saved that day.
Wow.
And last I heard her a few months back, she used to write me radio programs. She's still living for God.
Wow.
She got saved that day after I thought I had the message. And then God moved in me. And ain't that wonderful?
And what's amazing about that, you didn't have the ego to say, this is my church, I'm going to preach. You just wanted what God wanted.
Yeah, and I knew when he come in, because my message was gone.
Right.
And people don't believe how God can speak to you if you'll get in shape to listen to him.
Right.
And your people don't care if you miss him once in a while.
Yeah.
If you're in God's will.
They want what God wants.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you taking time and sitting down with us. Is there anything else you wanted to say or share that you had prepared?
No, I want to say, Brother Montgomery, that I love you, and I appreciate your preaching, and I appreciate your life, and I appreciate your faithfulness to God. And my prayer is that God will continue to use you, and one day when you're my age, you can look back and say, I had as good a life as Brother Langston had.
Amen. Well, that'd be a testimony. I appreciate you, preacher.
Thank you. I appreciate you
coming and preaching our church this week. Thankful for your son driving you up this week.
Too.
And our people. In fact, if they knew Hillcrest would let you, they'd probably just vote you in and let me be your singing leader.
Well, I don't want to get too much tar on my feet. You know?
Yeah. Hey, now I'll tell you this, and we'll get done. My wife these preachers' wives, they can be hard on preachers, can't they?
Yeah.
We got in the truck last night. And she said, I'll tell you something right now. She said, if preaching like that don't stir you up, your wood's wet.
Yeah.
She said, there's a problem with you if you can't get stirred up with preaching like that.
Well, I've been that way God's helped me all my life, and I don't want to change. I'm going to go as long as I can.
Yes, sir. Well, I hope this recording will be a blessing to folks. And when is your camp usually? Give the date to your
second
camp.
Second Monday in June and the third Monday in July. I believe it would be the 13th of June and the 18th.
In 2022.
July.
And but it's always the second Monday of June and the third Monday of July.
Always.
So and maybe those listening.
I'll be in several meetings between now and November. So.
And before COVID, you were running how many weeks a year?
Well, back before COVID and back before, while I was up in my 60s, I was still doing about 40-some a year.
Wow.
I started in February and got through about the first week in December.
And take then, December off?
Yeah, well, not many people have it after first, second week because they're getting Christmas plays.
Santa Claus
all
gets
stuff.
All the meetings, yeah.
And all that. So I usually run to the first or second week in December.
Yes, sir.
But now I close out most of the time before Thanksgiving week.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for taking time with us today, and we hope this will be a blessing to all those that hear. We'll put it on Facebook and YouTube and sermon audio, and we hope it'll be a blessing to you. Thank you for tuning in today.
I've enjoyed it, brother. It's been a blessing.
Thank you, preacher. God bless you.